Please pray with me. We've heard your word, Almighty God, and as we reflect upon its meaning for us today, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come upon us, open our hearts to receiving that which we need to hear. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will move through me as I share today the message that you've placed on my heart. And this we pray in your name. Amen. I preached my very first sermon at my home church, the Lidditz Church of the Brethren. It was a sermon on Christian hospitality. My dad was my worship leader. We were filling in for Pastors Jimmy and Ralph, who were on their way to annual conference, which is where Don and I were going to be going after we finished the morning service. I was nervous. Even though I was preaching a sermon that I was familiar with and had revised, after preaching it to peers for evaluation for a preaching course. After the service ended, my dad and I moved to the back of the sanctuary to greet people as they exited. People were gracious with their comments. Well, all except for one. When one lady got to me, she slugged me in my face. She then hit my dad in the arm. And she moved quickly out of the building, almost knocking over a very pregnant woman. I was shocked and confounded by what had just happened. Clearly, she was angry about something. I wondered what I had said or done to upset her. I mean, it was a sermon on hospitality. I wasn't even sure who she was. Until somebody finally filled me in. What I learned later is that this woman who slugged me was a person who had a mental health problem, and she had not taken her medicine for a few days. And when she went to church that morning, and she was expecting and needing to hear from Pastor Ralph, not me, her disappointment led to anger, and she took it out on me. Please don't hit me. Please. Anger is the topic that we're going to be talking about this morning. There's a misconception in our society that Christians should not get angry because Jesus teaches them to love one another. But we all know that even Christians experience anger. We are spiritual, physical, and emotional people just like everyone else, with the ability and need to make choices about what we will do and say in reaction to what we are feeling. And sometimes anger rears its ugly head, doesn't it? Anger is a protective behavior. The central issue behind anger is protection against being hurt. Hurt emotionally as well as other things, otherwise. Feelings of anger can arise in many different contexts. Experiencing unjust treatment, hearing a criticism, or simply not getting what we want are but a few of the potential triggers. The experience of anger can range from mild irritation to frustration, all the way to seething rage. And as a matter of fact, did you know that even boredom is a mild version of anger in the form of dissatisfaction with what is happening? The Bible is full of stories of moments when anger was unleashed. For example, the story that Jan read for us this morning about Cain and Abel, sons of Adam and Eve. Cain becomes very angry when God approves of Abel's offerings and not his. This story actually provides us with a perfect example that anger is a secondary emotion. meaning some other emotion, always comes first and triggers our anger response. The emotions that come first then are called the primary emotions. A primary emotion is a painful, hurt feeling such as loneliness, sadness, a feeling of an inadequacy, rejection, worthlessness, or fear. Anger never happens without experiencing first a primary emotion. And we can see in today's story that driving Cain's anger were feelings of rejection, or at least perceived rejection, and jealousy. An important step then in anger management is recognizing our primary emotions. And Cain wasn't able to do this, even after God warned him. We read in verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read it to you from the message so you hear it with different words this time. God spoke to Cain. Why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce. It's out to you. You've got to master it. God points out here that Cain has the opportunity to change and do what is pleasing to God. And God warns Cain that if he does not keep his anger in check or deal with it, sin could take over. Which it did, didn't it? Cain loses control of his anger, and eventually he murders his brother, his own brother. Sin won, and Cain had to live with the consequences of his sin. The scripture we heard read to us from James tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. I hear this telling us to slow down when we feel anger. Take a moment to explore what is spurring our anger. Find out what that primary feeling is before we use anger to cause harm through our words and our actions. Pause. Find out what's going on. And if it's hard to notice anything but the anger, start by exploring your thoughts, as those are what fuel all emotions. I like to say it this way: when your feelings are just overwhelming to you, especially something like anger, move into your head. Move out of all those emotions. Get into your head. Find out what you're thinking and think it through. Don't go with your emotions. It's not always the best way. Also, by slowing down your response, you can figure out whether another's words or actions are truly unjust, or if it's simply a blow to your ego. Keep in mind that the shift from a primary emotion turning into anger is typically quite fast and unconscious. That's why you got to move out of your feelings into your head quickly. By identifying the primary emotion and re-examining the words and or actions that stirred up your emotions, you can more easily determine the best course of action to resolve your problem. Now, lest we forget, we have someone on our side to help us catch ourselves, don't we? We have God. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to catch those emotions so our heads don't explode. But remember, as in the case of Cain, we need to work on having that relationship, that faithful relationship with God, our Creator, in order to have that advantage to help us. Now, having said all of this, I don't want to imply that we should stuff our anger. identifying the emotions that could lead to anger and the circumstances that triggered our emotions is not always enough to heal what we're feeling. Unresolved, stuffed anger is unhealthy for us, and it is likely to explode at a later date with tragic results. Maybe you remember that in Ephesians 4:26, it says, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to, what is it? Bed? Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of a foothold in your life. In an article titled War's Lethal Leftovers Threaten Europeans, Associated Press reporter Christopher Burns writes, the bombs of World War II are still killing in Europe. They turn up, and sometimes they blow up, at construction sites, in fishing nets, or on beaches 50 years after the guns fell silent. Hundreds of tons of explosives are recovered every year in France alone. And actually, we hear about that in Vietnam and Korea and all those places where bombs are hidden to explode anywhere. They turn up, and sometimes these bombs blow up. Hundreds of tons of explosives are recovered every year in France, as I said that. 13 old bombs exploded in France last year. Now remember, this was written in 1994, killing 12 people and wounding 11, the Interior Ministry said. I've lost two colleagues, said Yvonne de Bouvet, who heads a government team in the Champagne-Ardennes region that diffuses explosives from both World War I and II. Unexploded bombs become more dangerous with time, Bouvet said. With the corrosion inside, the weapon becomes more unstable. The detonator can be exposed. What is true of lingering bombs, my friends, is also true of lingering anger. Buried anger will explode when we least expect it. Dealing with our anger is another meaning of God's words to Cain. Not only did Cain need to keep track of or to keep his anger in check, he needed to deal with it instead of holding on to it. Sometimes people feel justified to hold on to their anger, whether they are or not. But when it explodes, now I didn't say if it explodes, because it's going to explode. Others get hurt. Families, friendships, even churches experience brokenness, some of which ends up being permanent. Unresolved anger is also one of Satan's tools to mess up your life, your own life. Did you know that when a rattlesnake is cornered, sometimes it becomes so angry that it bites itself? When a man or a woman harbors hatred or bitterness in his heart, he or she is poisoning himself or herself just like that rattlesnake who bites himself. Harboring anger can affect a person's health. It robs people of self-confidence. It traps people in the sludge of emotional pain. It keeps people from being all that God created them to be by separating them from opportunities and people that otherwise would encourage them to pursue goals. It separates them from God, in fact. One who harbors anger really should be asking themselves, is this really worth it? We deal with anger by confronting one another in love. By openly listening to one another, for respecting one another and one another's opinions. Sometimes it means compromising. Sometimes it means agreeing to disagree. It always means loving one another no matter what, as Christ loves us. Can you imagine all the emotion Jesus must have been feeling when he was hanging on that cross, looking down at all those people who were angry at him for doing what? And still he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, my friends, I said by loving one another. We don't need to see eye to eye to love one another. Jesus never said that we should only love those who think like we do and who do what we want them to do. He even said, love your enemies. Ooh. Love conquers all, including anger. We all experience anger in our personal lives. The same is true in our corporate life as the church. In our denomination right now, there is anger threatening to permanently separate us. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Can't we love one another and worship together even though we don't see eye to eye? Can't we talk to one another and listen and respect one another? I just don't get it. Has there been any anger unleashed or harbored here among this congregation? Oh, yeah, I know. I know for a fact that there has been, and I know people have been hurt, and some people choose to leave because of their anger, and that's really unfortunate. Maybe it's what had to happen. I don't know, but it's unfortunate. It's a sad day. It's sad. It's a sad way to deal with one's anger. A lady once came to Billy Sunday and attempted to rationalize her angry outburst. She said, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up, and then it's all over." Mr. Sunday replied, "So does a shotgun. And look at the damage that leaves behind." I know some of you feel pain and sadness because people have left, and that's totally understandable. Perhaps given time, they will return, but if not, we need to move on. Held together by our love for God and each other. This same love, God's love living in and through us, defeats all anger that threatens to tear us apart. Do you remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. Love conquers anger. There is a way to live together, even when there's tension. Anger and all of the primary emotions leading to anger tears down and destroys. But we will. We will. You say it with me? We will survive, overcome, and rise above anger and all the negative emotions that go with it. To be a united body, showing and taking to the world around us, my friends, the living Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.